And find your way to Galatians 6, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of your Son that you gave. Your cost to bring us to eternal life. When we receive that wonderful gift, and we rest in that gift, and we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon us today, and your Spirit would teach us, and you'd teach us by the truth that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. So Galatians chapter 6, in our, I guess you call it a series. I don't know if you can call going right through the Bible, you know, chapter and verse, right through the, if you can call it a series, but somehow the Holy Spirit turned this thing into something that we need. Now, the theme became continue, and I thought about, again, I'll give you the working titles, and that's not the title, so Aiden's not going to put the working titles up on the website. I thought about this one, continue in the continue. That actually says a lot to, this is not going to be easy to follow Jesus Christ in this world. If it was easy, right, the way wouldn't be narrow and difficult. Isn't that what our Lord taught us? He said the way is narrow and difficult, and there are few that find it. Do you ever discourage yourself saying, if only there were more people? But the truth of the matter is, this road and path of following Christ Jesus many times will be lonely, many times will be difficult, and praise God you found it. You found the way of following Jesus Christ. So continue in the continue got scratched, but then I get to talk about it in an introduction. Continue in the continue. Continue in the doing good, which was last week's title. That one got scratched. We already used that one. I guess maybe it's time just to tell you what it is. And it's to continue in the cross of Christ. To continue in the cross of Christ. Now, the invitation goes out long before Jesus really explains it. He tells the truth and lets it sit there. Likewise, you can see the message of the cross is all the way throughout Scripture, but it's not until you come to Christ Jesus, and then the Spirit would teach you how to follow him. And I remind you, as we come to this section of Scripture, we're going to pick up in verse 7 to the end of Galatians 6. Do not be deceived is a command. God is not mocked. And then what he says next, okay, and if you'll get onto this today and understand in the book of Galatians, this letter to the churches of Galatia, and if we receive this, and then with understanding, and you look at this understanding, and that now he lays out a truth of the way God is. Now I offer up to all of you, you're all born into this world and you operate according to what you have learned and discovered this world is like. In fact, many say this world is cruel, and it turned out that they're very cruel then together with, or you've got to get for yourself, no one's going to give it to you, and you got to go out and be a certain way in the world. But then you got saved by Jesus Christ. You came to that gospel, and you heard that gospel, and you were convinced that there's sin in this world, and I'm a sinner in this world, and that I'll die in this world, and I need to be saved from sin, and I need that cross. And in this context of what I would share with us today, I thought about starting out in my introduction just mooing, like where we left last week off, moo, right? The mocking of God. Many people today are mooing, right? They're mocking God. That's the root word of what God would lay forth in truth. And this is the truth they're mooing at. Whatever a man sows, or if you have the King James today, whatsoever a man sows. And he's laying down a law. He's giving a spiritual law in the book where he's telling them to be free from the laws of this world. And even how he described the great necessity for Paul to be free in Christ as a Pharisee who had made a life of righteous requirement of the law as keeping the rules the way they set it up. And he says, the life I now live, I used to live the life of a Pharisee where I kept the righteous requirement of the law, circumcised, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, knew his lineage. And again, if you want to know if he tithed even his herbs in his garden. You know, this is the way he lived. When he writes to the Philippians, he says, the way that I used to live, he says, I count it all loss for the excellency of the gain that is ahead of me, which is Christ. And so then he makes this bold statement to the Philippians. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He tells the Galatian churches, so if you hear context, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. The context is, I died to the law. The law keeper, the only way he could walk forward in this life with Christ was, I had to die to the law. And meaning this, that all the law did was point out sin. That's all the law can do. Now it's very effective at it. And we need that so we know exactly what God is revealing, so that when you have that conviction that God will judge sin in this world. And as he's telling the Galatians, the reason why he's telling them is because fake law keepers gave the perception that if you would be circumcised as Christians, then you could be saved. And they're liars. And so Paul describes in great terms, he says, I live crucified with Christ. This is the life I now live in the flesh. I was alive to the law once, and it was killing me, and I didn't even know it. He says, now I've learned that the only way for me to live is to live dead to self and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And in that crucified with Christ, there's this freedom. And if you hear it today, free from sin. That's a wonderful freedom. And if you hear it again, free from the law that pointed out that I was in sin. That's Paul's testimony. Now, picking this up, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, if you thought, right, for one second that this corruption just means, well, I just won't have a good life. No, the context of this word for corruption is the description of eternal hell. Do you hear that? See, the context, Paul is not mixing words here. He says very clearly that if a man sows to the flesh, of the flesh he will reap corruption. How do I know this? Well, he says that those who practice these works of the flesh, just go back to Galatians 5 with me, works of the flesh, right in the end of 5:21. Here's the context of why living crucified. Why dead to the law? Because then dead to sin? It's the only way to live. I got to live alive to Christ. And as he's describing this, alive to Christ, having the Spirit within, he says what? The life I now live, I sow to the Spirit so I can reap everlasting life. Do you hear the continue in this? I must continue to sow to the new nature that I've received in Christ Jesus. See, the susceptibility of church even today to take that which was begun in the Spirit and receive some sort of work of the flesh, some sort of rule, some sort of action, and add it to our Christianity. And that's what the Galatians were doing. 5:21, he says, of these works of flesh, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay. Now, the phrase I want to grab here, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past. Do you understand that? He is saying, I told you this before and it was true then. When I preached Christ to you, I told this to you, that if you don't repent of the works of the flesh, you will be destroyed. And he says, I tell you beforehand. So as he's preaching the gospel, he's preaching this truth that only Christ Jesus can save you. Only the cross of Christ Jesus can save you because you need that payment for sin. And you listen to Paul describe it. I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you take 5:21, and then if you're in your New King James Thompson chain, it's just across the page, and it's top verse, you know, to top verse, and you could just do a nice little circle and draw an arrow across the page and jump the binder with, you know, a couple little arrows, and then you can circle both verses, and you can take not inherit the kingdom of God, and you can associate it with reaping corruption. See, it would be a great deception, those who would moo at God and say, it doesn't really matter what you do in the flesh. What you do now that you're a Christian, and are you going to follow your old nature or the new nature that is born from above? Paul described this, and he says, the way for me to live, I got to live dead to sin, crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. And we continue in this cross of Christ, or maybe I wanted to say continue in crucified with Christ. This is the tone. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Peter uses these exact same words to describe being destroyed and corruption, right? And he's talking about the false teachers. He's talking about those who appeared to be something and they're not. And he describes that their corruption and their destruction is coming. See, I offer up to us today in this continuing of the cross of Christ, we have one choice. We die with Christ now, or we die in hell later. Do you hear that? We die with Christ now and receive eternal life, or, okay, Jesus says it better than I do. Go to Romans 12, or John 12. Aren't you glad Jesus says things better than I do? See, now you can't argue with me anymore, can you? And then if you're arguing with me, you might be mooing at God. Moo. Listen, we've been called to follow Christ Jesus in the way of the cross. Okay? John 12. 12:24. 12:23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now I'm going to talk to you today about the glory of the cross. As you continue in the cross of Christ, he is working in your life through your death to self and alive to God to produce a glory to God, not a glory to self. Okay? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now, this is the verse I'm thinking of and encouraging you to continue in the cross of Christ. He who loves his life will lose it. I'm associating loving life, right, in living for self. Let's be honest. Following the works of the flesh is one simple statement. I will do what I want to do. It's loving our own lives. Yeah. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You've been so inundated from all the social media, all your friends, all the stuff in the world, and you've been so inundated with the way of the world that has been preaching an evil message to you. Right? That says love yourself. Right? Love your own life. I don't know if you understand just how much of a frontal attack this is upon following Christ Jesus. And I'm calling us today to endure the pain and the suffering together with Jesus. Without his death on the cross, there is no life. When he says, if anyone loves his own life, he'll lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What'd you learn in church today? I learned how to hate my own life. Where? Where do you hate your own life? In this world. But you know the life you can love? The one that Christ gave you, the new life he gave you, you can love your life in heaven because that's the life of Christ. You hate the one in this world. Why? The one in this world says what? If I want to be angry, I'll be angry. If I want to, right? If I want to sin, I'll sin. If I want to, this is exactly where this is at. Now, to continue in the cross of Christ, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. So all of you yes men and women who are answering yes to the call, okay, not to agree with everything, but actually when you answer yes to the call, what are you saying? You're agreeing together with Jesus. He says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Yes, I will deny myself. Yes, I will hate my life in this world. Yes, I will die to the law. Yes, I will die to myself. Yes, I will carry the cross. Yes, this is the best way for me to live. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Let's see, there were a couple other terms in this three-step program. Deny self, take up your cross, follow Jesus. Now, when this hits and reaches you, now back to Galatians 5:8. This should now reach you. Listen, he who sows to his flesh of his flesh reaps corruption. What is that? Sowing to the flesh is sowing to the self-life. Okay? I love myself, therefore, when I want to experience pleasure in this world, I just do it. This was the life before you were saved. You just did it. You didn't think twice about it. You found something that you desired to do, and you did it without trouble. And then you could increase in those things. And the truth is, and here's the truth, whatsoever man sows, that he shall also reap. Those who live that way, okay, whether they be circumcised or not, or I might even modernize it for our current culture, whether you were sprinkled as a baby or not, okay, no matter how many pastors stand up and claim so-and-so became a child of God when they were sprinkled at 2 weeks of age, you have to ask yourself, is that really true? And I'm here to say unto you, this law, spiritual law, cannot be changed because God put the spiritual law in place. And if one sows to the flesh, of his flesh shall reap corruption. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not those who stumbled in them. Right? It's a wise man who stumbles seven times and gets back up and continues in the cross of Christ. Okay? Who here has run the perfect Christian race from beginning to end? I never stumbled. I hope you catch this today. So, second part of verse 8, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So here's the equivalence of sowing to the Spirit. I must die that Christ can live. Do you hear that? Sowing to the Spirit is I cannot live my life for myself, because if I love my own life, then I'm sowing to the flesh. So I must die that Christ can live. That's the sowing to the Spirit. In other words, it's dying with Christ. Now, as we develop this today and then carry through the thought that Paul reaches, I offer up to you today that the looking back at the book of Galatians and continuing in Christ crucified, he says to the Galatian churches, why would you turn back from following Christ? Because Christ was clearly portrayed before you as crucified. So that's the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus, that he died and rose again. Presented. This is the church that has believed and received the gospel. Now somebody else comes in and changes the reading on the navigation map and says, wait a minute, if you turn this thing around, you can get circumcised to be saved. That's the whole argument. And as Paul's teaching and instructing and being an apostle to the church, and he now needs to get them to repent from their unrepentance where they had previously repented. And now he's got to set this whole ship right again. Because they listened to some seductive, foolish voice that turned them out of the Christ crucified. And then in describing this, he says, Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Just pleading with them. Okay? And And I get into this thought today of sowing to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And for me, this is the cost. The cost of salvation is the death of Christ Jesus. The cost of the gospel coming to the churches of Galatia is a life laid down. So Paul, right, Barnabas, right, Saul, Barnabas, set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them unto. What was the work? By the Holy Spirit, what was the work? Die to self. You too be the seed of wheat that falls in the ground and dies. Do you know that nothing has gone forth in this world for Christ without what? The cost of a life laid down. The cost of a life laid down. Can you imagine Christ Jesus giving his life for his sheep only to say whatever they do after that, that's what it doesn't matter. Everybody wins in the end. Thus making the cross of Christ of no effect. And this is the warning to the churches of Galatia that's just as needy today. And will there be a church who will count together with Christ this cost and with Paul and continue in the cross of Christ? Because I tell you now, if we stand today and say we will follow Christ Jesus and serve him in the way of the cross, we will become even more of a minority. And a minority even amongst those who name the name of Christ, because many are naming the name of Christ and have no walk after Christ carrying the cross. Now, it's not new. Paul told the Philippians, he says, there are many who have become enemies of the cross of Christ. And the term he uses in Philippians 3, I think it's verse 7 if I have the right verse, that they make their God is their belly. Describing the same thing that he's pointing for the Galatians. And when I talk to us about walking in the Spirit, being Spirit-filled in all ministry, I need you to understand that if you will so too dying to self, taking up your cross and following Jesus, you will bring forth a fruitful life for God. John 15, abiding in Christ. That's abiding in his death and resurrection. Now, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 8 is a hell and heaven verse. It's a hell and heaven verse. So if you are sowing to the Spirit and you have been born from above and you have everlasting life, are you waiting to get to heaven and to find out if that's when you get everlasting life? Or have you believed and received that Jesus, when he saves you, gives you his Spirit as a guarantee, as an earnest, and you already have eternal life? And then this is the whole thing that he writes to the Galatians. Then live like it. Live like Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. Wasn't that your water baptism? That was my water baptism. By faith, I believed that when I went under the water, I was dying to sin with Christ. And just as he, right, rose from the dead victorious over sin, victorious over hell, that I too raised together with Christ. And now I'm going to live like it. And I told everybody publicly at that water baptism that I am going to follow Christ. Thus, I take this. I already have everlasting life. Oh, I was born dead in sin, but the moment I was born again, born of the Spirit, I became alive. Okay, I don't have an eternal past, and neither do you. But when you're born of God, you have that life, that eternal life. And so what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the witness of the eternal life of Christ in you. Did you think that the Holy Spirit was so mysterious that you like couldn't possibly know? Do you understand the Holy Spirit is to bring clarity, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, this truth, you know, that he's there to teach you that if you die with Christ, the promise of life is, then I will live with Christ. If we don't continue in the cross of Christ, we should do everyone a favor and just walk away from all of our venture. But if the cross of Christ is true, and the gospel and the promise of eternal life is ours, then we should do verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Now, that grow weary, again, is being utterly spiritless. In other words, if the Galatians will follow the deceiving words of another that says works of the flesh can save you, then they will become utterly spiritless in all of the works that they do. The only way to continue in the good that God sent Jesus into the world to do, so born from above, and now I'm going to say it to you, Jesus from above, and then how did he live? He lived dead to self, alive to God. He lived, he could say before he went to the cross, follow me by carrying your cross because this is how I live, went forth doing all the good. Good from above. Do you know that there is no other source? Goodness is not in you. Paul writes that to the Roman church. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So what's his conclusion then? Kill it. If nothing good dwells in my flesh, what's his conclusion? Put it to death. If I let it live, what's it going to do? If I let it live and then sow to it, it could be that in the end I reap corruption. And then he says, I crucify my flesh and I carry the cross of Christ and I continue in the cross of Christ because that's the only way I can continue in this eternal life that Christ has given me. Now, when I was a drunk back in the, that's the 90s and into the early 2000s. Let's see. Nope, 90s. So late 80s and early 90s, about 10 years. The only way I could, as a Christian, not give in to the sin of drunkenness was not take a drink anymore. And the only way I found that out was by the Holy Spirit saying, that's not for you anymore. And why I say it in that context, this growing weary while doing good, utterly spiritless. If I had quenched the Holy Spirit, ignored the Holy Spirit on that day, if I said, I can do whatever I want to do and I enjoy doing this, I have no idea what course and path I would be on now. Do you hear that? Because I know this is true. I can't change this truth. You can't change this truth. Okay? Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he's revealing that whatever words he was saying about being a Christian and following Christ, those words are just words. But in the transaction of his heart, of losing his life, he's saying, I really love my life, so I'm not going to give up the things that I desire. Okay? But the one who sows to the Spirit says what? I had to die to sin, and I got to stay dead to sin, because if I don't keep myself dead to sin, if I go back to sin, I can't afford to do that because I know the course and path I was on before Jesus saved me, and no, I am not teaching once saved, always saved, and no, I'm not teaching that you can lose your salvation. I'm saying we reveal what we are by what we sow into our lives. We reveal if we're abiding in Christ or if we're abiding in the devil. Now, when I offer this up, and with this heart's desire to give a good answer, let us not grow weary while doing good. Do you know what that means? Everything in this world that is contrary to Christ will war against your one thing. I'm born from above. I receive good from above. I receive that good into my heart. Now, others should have the benefit of the love of God that came into my life, and that love should produce for others. Right? They should experience the love and truth of this gospel of Christ. Put into a vessel that died, now poured forth out to others. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Because this world is designed to wear you down. Because the results. Have you not noticed that you can put a seed in the ground and it doesn't produce much? You say, I'm going to start a garden. And you take this piece out of your lawn and then you start working it and you put seeds in there and all of a sudden the lawn takes over whatever you put there. It takes great effort to overcome the things that are in our hearts concerning weeds and stones. And as I describe this to us, now, in due season we shall reap if you do not lose heart. Now, here's how this usually works. Again, and it's a deception, and I'm going to warn you of the deception. Okay? And the deception is this, that you think all of the circumstances of this law of sowing and reaping are external. And it produces a victim mentality, even in the body of Christ. And I'm here to let you know, there is not a single thing that comes into your life that doesn't pass through your Father's hands first. If it touches you, it's come through the Father's hands. And I offer this up because the meaning of the word, if you read it, he says, let us not be utterly spiritless while doing good. Meaning, you're going to have a very difficult time taking the next step, and you're going to have to like, nope, I died to that. It is not easy to continue in the cross of Christ. So consider Christ, right, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross. Do you think each one of those steps was easy? Okay. Every single step on the way from the Antonio Fortress to Golgotha, right? Think about that. Every single step was an enduring step. Okay? He's a dead man walking. All these phrases. And so, aren't you glad Jesus didn't become utterly spiritless? And even when he was on the cross, remember the taunting? If you are the Christ, come down from the cross and we will believe in you. Even holding himself, keeping himself dead to this world and alive to God while he's dying, while he's the seed of wheat that falls in the ground and dies. I am here to offer up to you a cross-bearing Christianity. The same one that Paul talked about, the one that all the apostles received, the one that has been walked in by others before us. And I say, if you want to continue in church here, I will continue to preach and teach the cross of Christ. I am not laying it aside for something that tickles ears or scratches an itch. And I know that it will be a difficult way to live, and there will be few that find it. And there will be others that come in and say, can you give me something a little bit more uplifting? Can you give me a radio station a little more positive and uplifting? See, we're just conditioned what? As a Christian following Christ in this world, because I'm a Christian, man, life should be better. And I'm here to let us know that if you're going to have others come to Christ, it's not going to be better, it's going to be deathful to self. And it's a great way to live. Now, in due season, again, all my explaining on this, it's not external. The word there for due season is describing it'll be in ourselves. So if it was singular, you would say, in my season. But he's laying this truth out in a singular context, and then he says, us. Let us not grow weary in doing good. You're not alone in this. And so in the us doing good, what's the good that Jesus went forth to do? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching the word of God, healing all those oppressed of the devil. And that's Acts 10:38, if I have the right verse. Now, I offer this. This is not external circumstances. You cannot blame your growth in the Spirit upon the external circumstances, nor can you blame the effect of the works of the flesh in you because of where you live or my wife, my husband, my work, my boss. This clear word, if you're born of God and you have everlasting life and you're sowing to the Spirit, carrying the cross is the only way to continue in order to bring forth fruit. And that agrees together with John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what I'm pleading with us is us to see this in due season means this. God has, in this law of sowing and reaping spiritually, that if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Okay? And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption, which is a reference to hell. So you have two different sowings in the same vessel. And guess what we all do from time to time? We think we can do what? Sow to both. And that's why this, why do I need the cross? Well, in due season. Now you'll notice, okay, you'll notice very clearly, this has nothing to do with your past life like karma teaches. I'm not going to teach karma to you, but they're reincarnationists. It's blasphemous to say karma and sowing and reaping together. So as I expose that and come to this truth, this is about this life. You only have one life, you only have one soul, and it's in this life, and others are going to hell because they haven't received the gospel of Jesus Christ. You having received Christ and following him in this, the doing good, this is not about being a do-gooder, you know, that people say, oh, you're such a good person, quite the opposite. The doing of good is that which Christ gave his life that others could be saved. You give your life, and in counting that cost, in due season is to the extent of which you've, again, us, we've sown to the Spirit, we shall reap in that season for us. Meaning it's not the circumstances. It's not the trials. Trials only expose things. Tribulations only reveal things. What's being sown? You go through the same trouble and you can go through it as carnal as you've ever been. Or you go through the trouble and this time around and say, you know what, I'm going to pray this time and I'm going to obey what the Spirit of God... And you can go through the same trial, either carnally or spiritually, and this is what it teaches. In due season is in our season. In our season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Now the word there for lose heart, again, this is not the fainting and utterly spiritless. The second lose heart here, or fainting if you're reading out of the King James, the second one in 9 is that if I loose myself from this law of sowing and reaping, if I become unbound. In other words, it doesn't matter whether I walk in the Spirit or not. It doesn't matter whether I carry the cross of Christ. I offer up to you, you are watching a crossless Christianity being introduced to the world through all of the corporate mechanisms of just gathering numbers and people to have influence in this world. And you say, well, it's great. The church seems to be, you know, abounding and fruitful, but have you checked to listen closely? The cross of Christ and the suffering with Christ has been taken out. There is no life cost, seed of wheat, fall on the ground, die, going on. Purpose-driven, right? Seeker-sensitive. I don't bring them up so you can revive them. I'm telling you, let us not be utterly spiritless over what is going on with everyone else, but let us do good, for in our season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity. Now, a spiritually lazy person says, I don't have an opportunity. A spiritually lazy servant says to the master, I know the way you are, that you reap where you have not sown. Therefore, I took your money and I hid it in a handkerchief. Right? And here it is back. It's yours. And he says, you wicked and lazy servant. Listen, I just offer up to you, we have before us an open door. We have more opportunity than most churches our size. We are reaping what we have been sowing in prayer. We're Spirit-filled. We're seeking God in the afterglow. We're asking, seeking, and knocking. We've been exhorted to die to self. We've confessed our sins. We're in this. If you look at verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, the instruction is let us do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. I'm here to let you know every one of you in here has opportunity more than most churches our size. Now, to him to whom much is given, much is required. I'm pleading with every one of you, if you can see it, especially if you're answering the call. And as men are answering the call to be elders and then together with their wives, that they will do that in church. And and men who are answering the call to pastor or be an evangelist or to lose your life for Christ and go to another place. Listen, the only way that open door brings forth fruit to God is through a life laid down. So when you hear me say, continue in the cross of Christ, I'm pleading with all of you for the surrendered life. My life is not my own. It belongs to the one who purchased it for God at his cross. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will keep it for eternal life. He who loves his life in this world will lose it. He who hates his life in this world. Well, where's the problem? The whole problem is where this is happening. You say, I'm born from above. Why can't I just go to heaven now? Life would be a lot easier if I could be saved and go to heaven. Don't actually have to acknowledge, even as a Christian, the wickedness that still dwells in me. That's Romans 7, right? This wickedness that is in me as a Christian, Paul says it's a law. With my mind, my spiritual mind, I serve Christ. But in my members, I'm like, oh, wretched man that I am. And I bring us to this. We have an opportunity to do good unto all, especially to those of the household of faith. Now, what Paul says next in 11 through 15, listen up on this. This is the heart of the necessity. You've already got it. He dies with Christ to sin, so he can be alive to God. He dies to the law, that which is former righteousness. Again, as he's telling this, he says, I've already died to the law, and you guys want to pick up the law? That's what he's telling them. He says, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit who can keep you in Christ. And now he's going to say, I'm going to teach you something here. He says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, remember the thorn in the flesh that he tells to the Corinthians? Remember how he described to the Galatians how he came and he had an infirmity in his flesh? Many say it's his eyes. And when he says, large letters I've written to you with my own hand, Paul would instruct. He'd have someone write the scriptures for him, but it's coming forth from him, but he wasn't with his eyes. He wasn't the one writing it. And now what does he do? Now he says, look, I wrote this to you. And then listen to what he says. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh. Now we are living right in the heart of a Christianity in North America that boasts that lie right there. A good showing in the flesh. Our ministry and our pastor and our worship leader and our style of worship, and it's become a show and a concert. And I just offer up, if you don't believe me, if the cross of Christ has been removed, all you have to do is listen to the messages for a while. And who talks about sin anymore? So in that vacuum of the Holy Spirit counsel and the cross of Christ and suffering and walking with Christ and dying to self, the people aren't comforted and helped. And what takes away the counsel of the Holy Spirit, along comes another, right? And that's what happened to the churches of Galatia. Along came another gospel. And listen, now churches send their people out when they're in trouble. They send them out to the world. Now, here's my plea. Paul says, as many desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, in the context of the day, it was the Judaizers who were giving them something else. Listen, we're in one right now. There are many who have come in, snuck into church, and are handing people, you shouldn't suffer. You should feel good. Do you hear that? That's a repeated message to Christians, from pastors, for a lack of a better term. And they hand them over to counselors, making the pastor a facilitator. And what do the counselors do? They give them the victim mentality. Rather than the truth of sowing and reaping and saying what? Okay? Sin is sin. The only way you deal with sin is sin must be confessed and then cleansed. And if it's another person's sin, the only way to get out of that is through forgiveness. Because of the cross of Christ, you can forgive the one that has sinned against you. Listen, the law, right? The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. This compelling, and you could just as easily say those that would say you should always feel good, suffering, you should never suffer as a Christian, they themselves, they just don't want to suffer the persecution for the cross of Christ. You look someone right in the eye and say, die to it. This happened to you. Yes, I know what happened to you. You must die with Christ to that sin that happened unto you. And his instruction to you is to forgive them. Persecution for the cross of Christ. If we just had a purpose-driven church and a seeker-sensitive church, we wouldn't have to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, if you think I'm just making this up or I'm targeting them, I'm here to let you know. We're already at the place. There were those squawking about it in the beginning when it was being introduced to the church, and I was one of them. I said, don't do this. Don't follow this. But now we are already past the don't do this, don't follow it stage, and it's we are reaping what has been sown to systematically remove the cross of Christ from his church. For even those who are circumcised, keep the law. Do you hear that? Not even those who do seeker-sensitive and purpose-driven have purpose and are sensitive to seeking, if I may just use that truth. But they desire to have you circumcised. They desire for you to purchase their leadership conferences and host them at your church by simulcast and charge all your people to tune into the simulcast, and then you can pay for something, and they've invited the world. Do you understand that Paul is describing those who are not circumcised keep the law. They desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. And I just say this right here, and I just put in my notes, wow. Way of the world. Wow. Now, what do you know? If I follow the way of the world like I was before I was saved, you know what that was producing in me? It was producing death. Sin and death. But if I follow the way of the cross... And so verse 14 becomes the key verse to continue in the cross of Christ. I only have one choice. Because there's a glory of the cross, and there's also a glory of the flesh. Paul just contrasts it. He says, there are those who came into the churches of Galatia, and their whole thing, they wanted the glory in the flesh. If they could convince somebody to buy their program, to follow them, then they could glory in that their program. Look at all the numbers we have. Look at the nickels and noses that we've been able to amass and have together. And I offer this to us, this truth. Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He says, glory. There's only one thing that is valuable that I could actually glory in and boast in. And he says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What's the answer? His answer is, this cross, not only am I dead to sin, not only am I dead to the law, he says what? I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the world. Do you know that's the warning? If you keep yourself in love with the world, what do you know? If I love the world, I'm going to sow to the world, and then I'm going to partake of the world, and then I'm going to follow the world's philosophies, theories, and I'm here to offer up by way of just explaining to you, we have never partaken of those philosophies that I talk about. We're not operating in a repentance because we did do purpose-driven. We never did. And we never did seeker-sensitive. We never listened and tuned our ear to the philosophies of the world's leaders in business. Now, if you think I'm not seeing things clearly, I ask you to examine the last 5 years and just see how the worldly church complied with the way of the world as the test run to see who has authority over decision making. And I remind you that Christ Jesus submitted himself to the will of his Father, and he walked in the truth, and it cost him his life. but out of that came eternal life. So in this dead to the world, right, Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What is this? What's Paul saying in verse 15? He's saying circumcision or uncircumcision, that's not what it's about. It's about being a new creation in Christ, and everyone who names the name of Christ is to put to death the works of their flesh, their old nature. Put off the old man, put on the new, like a garment. Now, I don't think I'm saying anything new to you today, but in this plea, listen to this similarity. This is Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Now listen to this in 6:15 of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. So what Paul says in both of those places, okay, is what this new life is all about. This is the life that you gain. In 5:6, faith working through love, or faith expressing itself in love. Why is it so simple? I believe that Christ Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world and raised again from the dead, and that when I believed and received him, I too have received his life into my heart, and I believe that, and I know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and the good that he did, now I do, and I believe that God is love. And I believe the love of the cross. Now, you can't actually find a verse in the Bible that says love of the cross. If you do your search and you put love and cross in there, you don't get it. Nor do you get the like of the cross. Now, you do get the suffering of the cross. That, listen, I am not pulling any punches with anybody today. If these things sting and reach and need to, I'll be very honest. Following Christ Jesus in this world will be a result into your life of being hated for his namesake at some point in your life. If you operate that way, it'll hurt. You'll be persecuted and you'll be made fun of, and at some point it'll be suffering to walk in obedience to carrying the cross of Christ. You'll be misunderstood, you'll be mistreated. Okay? And as I described this, you have this faith working through love, agape, right? God's love, the love of the cross, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love of the cross, right? And this is my invitation to us today. Carry the cross. In verse 6:15, it's a new creation. You cannot have a new creation without first what? What is it when the gospel's preached? You're convinced that you're a sinner. You're convinced that if you don't get saved by Christ, you're going to hell. What's happening? I need to be saved. When you're saying I need to be saved, what? I have to die. It's better for me to die to sin and live to God. A new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm born from above. I have the love of God. And now, I just remind you that if everlasting life has come to you and you say it's all about being born from God, you know, I'm born from above, I'm born of Christ, and Christ lives in me, and then now the good that I am to do, I am going to now sow. I'm going to sow to that life, and I am not going to quit. I am not going to change the law. If I, who am born again, yield myself unto the works of the flesh, if I yield myself unto the practice of what I got out of, what am I saying? Well, then this being born again thing really didn't matter to me. And so Paul lays this on the line, and he says in 16, as many as walk according to this rule. Now, what rule is he talking about? Well, I think he just introduced to us this spiritual rule, law of sowing and reaping. If you're born from above, what do you do? I do the good that God did in Christ Jesus. Just as he was sent into the world, now I'm sent into the world. Now, would you know that most of the music, Christian, right, when it became an adjective, most of the stuff you find online, most of the teachings that are now compatible and available and this have been infected by the world, the way of the world. Is there any difference between Christian music and secular music? Is there any difference between Christian movies and secular movies? Christian dance clubs and... Okay. So this Christian amusement parks. Now, why am I saying this to us? We get saved, and then you look around in this world, and you don't realize it wasn't always this way. We are living in a day and age when Christian is nothing but another genre of music. And I'm here to put Christ back into Christian and put the cross back into our Christianity and say, I walk according to this rule. Which rule? So this peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. Do you hear that? The blessing of Messiah to the world. The peace with God only comes through the death of the Messiah. This rule, I'm a new creation in Christ. I walk according to this rule. I walk, right, putting off the deeds of the flesh, putting on Christ. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the truth. Paul suffered persecution for the cross of Christ, and he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. He writes to all the churches of Galatia and says, carry your cross with me. I carry the cross. You carry the cross. So my invitation to us, is best described by John 12. Be the seed of wheat that falls in the ground and dies. Lose your life for Christ. Okay? Self-life. Whatever you attach and hold to loving your own life and your self-life, that will kill you if you don't crucify it. The best thing I can offer up to you, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Would it be that we would be a church, too, that would bear the marks of Christ in our life, in our bodies? Or would you turn back at the threat of persecution? And I think that's worthy to be said, because that's how you end up with a crossless Christianity when you say you should never suffer persecution, you should never suffer pain, and all of a sudden the cross has been taken out. If it was in God's sight that his son should die, would it be such a strange thing for those that follow him that they would suffer and die for faith? Now I contemplate what is the cost of getting salvation to the Muslims that have moved to Fargo. I contemplate that with the Lord. Life didn't come to the Gentiles till Christ died on the cross. What does it take to have revival and a true work of God's Spirit and salvation in each one of the four cities that we're reaching out in. Same cost here. A life laid down. So I'm asking God for seven men who will count the cost and lay their lives down and go be the seed of wheat that falls in the ground and dies and says, you can bury my bones here. I lose my life for Christ. So don't be deceived today, and don't mock God and say, well, I can be a Christian and I don't need the cross, and I can be a Christian and I can still partake of the world. At some point, if you're a worldly Christian and you're trying to do both, something's going to topple one way or the other. And I would much rather suffer in this life and follow Christ for all of eternity, because I know that the glory of heaven far, far, right, far outweighs all of the trials, difficulty, and suffering in this life. And in this sober moment, I lost my life for Christ. I am not concerned about what I get in this life, in this world. Now, I still live in this world, but I'm not of it. And I offer up to you what Paul's parting words to the Galatians is: the only way I can live crucified to the world and the world to me is by the cross of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you should fit it well, secure it well, keep it well, for if on any given day, one of two things will be happening. Either I will be dying daily, or the life of Christ in me will be dying daily. So, Father in heaven, we ask you today to glorify Christ Jesus in your church that dies to self and lives to God, and that you would have great glory of the cross of Christ in all of these lives, and that we would see that seed planted would bring forth fruit to God. And we ask that today, what you're teaching us today, you could have an entire church dead to self and alive, bringing forth fruit to God, for that's our desire, that you could have much more fruit. And we will walk in that, and teach us how to. We don't call upon you with great boasting that we're going to do this by the work of the flesh. We're crying out to for your Spirit to keep us in Christ and keep us on the way of the cross, because we do not want to go the way of the world. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.